Welcome everybody, share number 1032. We're learning today Lila Nishmas Moshe Deliv Ben Rabar and Zizel. Lila Nishmas Blima Bas Rav Moshe and Lerafur Shalema Velvel Zev Ben Shendel Shtakav Rafur Shalema Pesach Shachal Yisrael. Getting back to our Malacha of Mechaba. Okay, Bezras Hashem, we're trying to finish off the Malacha. We have Mechaba, Mavir, and then Bezras Hashem move on to another Malacha. So the Sefer Lamed Tes Malachas, and actually he brings it down in the Malacha of Mavir, which again, we've been discussing that it's sort of like a brother and sister, Mavir and Mechaba. But an interesting case, which I want to discuss, in reference to moving a Chanukah menorah, which could come up. Now, as far as a regular candelabra, a regular leichter, people, in general, they have it set in a place whereby it's not dangerous, and people know, you know, every week they light it in the same place, whether it's on the table, off the table, however it works. We'll try and get into those halachas bezras Hashem when we talk about hadlokas neiros. But a Chanukah menorah, sometimes people put it up in a place where they don't realize that it could be a little bit dangerous. Now, we mentioned last year the Sefer Lamed Tes Malachas, he does go through many different cases which could be dangerous, and it's kedai if one has a chance to look, especially in the Malacha of Mechaba, the various different cases that he goes through, and there's a lot more even on top of that. There are many different situations which come up. But just this one is an interesting one with the Chanukah candles. We hear every year, Nebuch, you know, issues and sometimes problems. I know we had even by us once, where we had a menorah. It was sort of like a defective menorah, and it sort of caught on fire, and there were curtains right up on top. It wasn't on Shabbos. It happened to have been during the week, but Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmanis, and we were able to come in, we came in the room and we saw it and we caught it before it actually hit curtains. So it's something, Chanukah candle especially, and people put it by a window. And putting aside the fact the other problem which we spoke about for a number of shiurim in reference to opening up a window, but over here it's just simple, a person has to now move it. It's Shabbos, let's say it's Shabbos Chanukah, and they lit before Shabbos, whatever. Now the question is, it's now on Shabbos, and they realize, hey, I put it in a place that I should not have put it. What do I do? So he brings down, does the Sefer Lamed Tes Malachas on page 1225, actually, like we said in the Malacha of Mavir, he said, if one notices on Shabbos that the Chanukah menorah is too close to the wall or the window, right, they realize, oy vey, I lit it in the wrong place, where the flame could cause damage, or is near the curtains, for example, or it could become, Rachman Uslan, flammable, it could catch onto curtains, or sometimes a string of the curtain, or whatever it might be, the correct approach may depend on the nature of the fire hazard, which we'll try and go through the two different, various different cases. Now, obviously, we all understand, which we've been talking about, where a fire emergency would pose an imminent threat to life. For example, let's say, like the case we just explained, we once had, we walk into the room, we see it's about, Rahman Aslan, almost touching the curtains, you know, and obviously you're allowed to, you move it and that's it. You don't start, messing around with a shinoi, not a shinoi, going, not a go. You take it with your hands and you move it to a safer place, and, you know, it's, on Shabbos, not on Shabbos, whatever the case is. If it's close to, the curtains, close to the string, whatever the case is, those are issues of Bekuach Nefesh, Rahman Aslan, one little thing and it could just light up Rahman Aslan, who knows what. So that's what he says. If the Chanukah menorah is in its present location poses a threatening life hazard, in cases like we spoke about, it could be other cases also, something else hanging down or whatever. Sometimes, like we said, we once had a defective menorah where the whole thing just lit up into a big flame. Then it may be moved to a safe place, or in that case, just to put it out, or whatever the case is. However, one should move it very gently in a case whereby, let's say they have the regular oil menorah, right? And the question is, they want to now move it. So they should be careful, if it's possible, moving it very gently and carefully in a manner that will not cause any shifting or vibrating of the oil. We're not talking about the menorah where the whole thing lit up. A person has little cups of oil, and you have the wicks inside, regular Chanukah, now you have to move it, if it's possible, to move it gently and carefully, again, in conjunction with how close to the curtain or the strings or whatever it might be, if a person is able to do it, to move it carefully without and not having to cause any shifting or vibrating of the oil. Because again, like we always say, when there's oil, the closer it goes to the wick, it's a question of mavre, away from the wick is a question of mechabe. Okay. Again, if you have to do it quickly just to get it away, just pull it away and no thinking. Now, he goes further to say, He continues further that if the menorah is a potential hazard, but there is no imminent danger, right? No imminent danger of life threatening, whereby chas v'shalom the whole place could light up, or who knows what could happen over there. So then one should, and assuming that they have time and it's nothing dangerous, it's just a question of possibly burning something, they should ask a non-Jew, a guy, to move it to a safer place. Again, this is a case whereby it's not life-threatening, but it's potential hazard, whatever the case is, to ask a guy, a non-Jew. Okay, so if there's no, let's say I can't get a guy, there's no guy available where I live, whatever the case is, no non-Jew is available, then one should slowly and gently, again, we're talking about a oil menorah, oil with wicks, right, regular oil menorah, one should slowly and gently slide the menorah with their elbow, for example, or back of their wrist to a safer distance. Again, if it's possible, without dropping the menorah, right? So you have to be careful with that. But as much as possible to do it with a shinei, elbow, or wrist, or the like. However, this option is only feasible, he explains, if the sliding movement will not inevitably cause the oil to shift inside the cup of the from side to side. The shifting of the oil in a burning lamp, obviously, is an act of mavir machaba. Okay, like we explained. Now, he explains further in Sefer Lam Tes Melachos, if one senses that sliding the menorah in this backward way, backhanded way with the shina or whatever, will definitely cause the oil to shake and it's going to shift all around because you don't have a good grip on it, then one should not attempt to move it in that manner. So then he explains one should not attempt to move it in that manner. In such cases where there is a fire hazard, like we said, it's not chas v'shalom life threatening, but there is a potential hazard over here that could come to some sort of a fire hazard, then the muksa ordinance, he explains, is temporarily waived, and one may gently lift the menorah and move it in a normal manner to a safe place in order to prevent the flames from causing any damage. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, moving it then without a shina, but you have to be careful not to have the oil swish around. But again, assuming that it's in a place where it could be Rahman's on a fire hazard, it's just not life-threatening. Okay. Now, he explains, does it say for Lam Tes Melachos, again on page 1225, unlike a oil menorah, right, a menorah that uses candles, let's say, good, I don't have an oil menorah, I have a candle menorah. And again, it's on Shabbos, I have to move it, fire hazard, whatever, like we spoke about, and not life-threatening, whatever. A menorah that uses candles may be moved to a safe place without concern for Mavir or Mechaba. So you have a problem of Mux over here, but the Isser of Mechaba, Mavir or Mechaba, would not be so imminent over here if they have regular candles. However, it's preferable to ask a child, he brings down, to move the candles if it's a safe option. Again, if it's a safe option where the child could do it. He goes further and says that why is this? That since wax, unlike oil, again, you have to do it very carefully either way, but since wax, unlike oil, is a firm substance, sudden movements do not affect the intensity of the candle's flame in any way. The halachic problem involved with handling the wax candle is therefore limited to the restrictions of muksa. Like we said, it is a problem of muksa and does not involve a question of machaba and mavir. Thereby, like we said, if it's a day, it's somewhat the fire hazard, dangerous thing, so then to move it would be okay, not just because it's going to, you know, damage something, but it could be a potential fire hazard. So that's what he says. The muksa restriction can be waived in cases of severe financial loss. Also, okay, that's a little bit, we're not going to get into that right now. Therefore, if a wax candle fell on the Shabbos, wax candle fell in general, he speaks about, now he's talking about back to a candelabra in general. Before we go further, let's just sum up what we have so far. Again, if it's possible, we want to try and move it again with a shina in this question of muksa. He brings down, give it to a child. If, again, we keep on saying if it's possible, if it's feasible, if it's a safe option, or so on. But even obviously with wax, again, back to the same thing. If it's a dangerous situation, all hands on deck, and we do whatever we have to do. Just finishing off, a muksa restriction, unlike a malacha, which could be a deraisa in many instances, can be waived in cases of severe financial loss. Therefore, if a candle fell on a Shabbos table or on a wood or a carpet floor, it may be picked up and deposited in a safe place. And he brings on one thing very important. He brings in the horrors in the back that even more than that, it's not even about the financial loss. If a wax candle fell on a table, carpet, or the light, especially on a carpet is nothing to talk about. Sometimes tablecloth, again, these type of things, it could turn into a dangerous situation. Bechlal. So Lemaisa, that's what he brings down. A muksa restriction can be waived in cases and whereby these things happen, that the candle fell over or whatever the case is. Therefore, the wax candle fell on the table, wooden or carpeted floor may be picked up and deposited in a safe place. Because again, as long as the fire is going, it could cause potential hazard. Thank you for listening. Aslach and bracha kol tov.